Welcome, everybody. It's time once again for the next chapter with Charlie Hedges. As he explores turning the page on his life and yours. Hey, Charlie.
Hey, Paul. You know what's really fun about being in lockdown? Well, one of the things that is fun about being in lockdown is that I get to see your home studio.
In all its glory, in all its chaos and confusion.
All three of those words work, and I would, you know, have several that I would add to that. I cannot believe that you have three offices.
Yeah.
And each larger than the one you have right here, and they are all filled with
stuff. Yeah.
Like you're telling me something about lanyards. I mean, I can't.
Well, I smile because every so often somebody says, throw all this stuff out. You haven't used it. What's the last time you did? And I gave you offline the lanyard story. Lanyards, those little things you wear around your neck when you go to an event. My wife was going to an event this morning, and she said, if you got one of those lanyards, I want to put my name tag in, and I don't like the one they gave me. I said, of course I do. And within seconds, I was able to go right to where I have the 27 lanyards that I've saved through the years or purchased through the years. And I smiled, and I thought, see, everybody else would say, throw those out. You haven't used them in 5, 6, 7 years. And today was a perfect example. You never know when you're going to have to go to that lanyard pile.
And you didn't know where they were?
I knew where they were. That's the crazy thing. You look around, you think this is confusing. I know where everything is in here. I can only explain it. It must be the way my brain works because it's sort of a visual representation of where my brain is, little piles of things all over the place.
That's coming. There was a novel I read that was called Sanctuarium or Sanctarium. It's a library in the mind, and that's certainly what you have. Well,
every office
talk about
I've ever
the mind. Today, I'm going to be getting into the mind, and I'm very passionate about this topic. And I think, as we've discussed in the past, I have this aversion to the idea of growth, personal growth.
Yeah. Right.
You know that 3 to 5 steps to accomplishing whatever it is that you want to accomplish or who you're supposed to be.
There's a million of those seminars, million books on everything's about personal growth.
And they are very linear. Step one, step two, step three, and you're going to end up at step
four.
Whatever. Step,
right.
Step nirvana.
Yeah.
And I have a difficult time with that. I think linear growth, learning, starting from the beginning and working your way upward, I think is quite effective when you're talking about learning or mastering a particular discipline,
right?
Engineering or art or producing a studio or any of those more technical sort of occupations. But there comes a point and you, I'm sure, really get this. There comes a point when someone goes from a novice to an adept and then to a master.
Right.
When they go to the master, they move more into a freeform mode where all the stuff they learned, it's like they didn't forget it, but they forgot that they had to do it.
Remember years ago meeting Burt Bacharach, of all things, when I was an entertainment publicist. I had heard him give a talk that day. He was speaking somewhere, and I just went up and told him how much I enjoyed it. And the gist of it was, I may have his quote wrong, but he said it a few times at different things. It's one of his favorite sayings, is that, because his music was very non-traditional, the kind of songs he wrote. The structures of the songs were very unique. Let's just leave it at that.
Oh, were they?
And yeah. They had a lot of unique elements to them that people didn't expect. And that's what people found appealing about him. And he said, you first have to learn the rules before you can forget them. You have to learn the rules before you can forget them.
You know what I would add? I love that. You have to learn the rules before you can forget them. You have to learn the rules before you break and ignore them.
Yeah, right. It's the same thing. Exactly. In other words, he had to learn the structure of songwriting in its classic form before he could start experimenting and realizing, well, I know this is not the way it goes, but maybe it would sound better if I did it this way. He had to learn how to not just play his instrument, but he had to learn how to compose before he could deviate and create his own path.
Yes, but the deviate, create, ignore, go around, those are really critical elements to being full. Well, let's just get right into what I want to talk about.
Okay.
Because we're talking around it. And while I may not like the word growth, I do like the word additive. Now, that may sound like growth, but it's not. It's that we're adding on to what we already have. Mm. It doesn't necessarily mean we're growing, especially vertically.
Like my collection of junk, I'm always adding.
You're always adding. Yeah. And that you may know where your lanyards are, really, you know, I can't complain about your crazinesses. And so what I've come upon is a metaphor for the notion of growth that I'm calling ladders. I almost said lanyards.
Lanyards.
I'm calling ladders or trellises.
Okay.
And I want you and I to kind of go into that brief discussion today.
Okay.
I see this, that doesn't have to be a real long show. This is a show that just really want to kind of get this point across. And so I do want to ask you this, Paul, when you think about, because you do so many podcasts and so many different topics, when you think about personal growth, what comes to mind?
My first thought, maybe it's just because I'm an old becoming an old cranky old guy, is it's one of those buzzwords everybody throws around, personal growth. Everybody's supposed to nod. And I'm not really sure what it means. It's lost much of its meaning. Like most buzzwords, you react to and you go, and then you say, define it. And you go, I don't know. I'm not really sure. I hear it all the time. Everybody says you got
to
do it.
I don't know if anybody even gets to that point of saying, define it. They feel compelled to believe it because it is the...
the gospel
term,
the
of
truth.
Term of the day.
Yeah, right, exactly. So I get the idea of it is that you know you're always a lifelong learner. I get that, but I don't know exactly what personal growth means, because I don't physically grow. My physical growth stopped when I was 12 or 13, otherwise I'd be 20 feet tall. My parts of my body change over time, parts of them stay the same. So I don't know that. In fact, in some ways, I'm shrinking a little bit. If you get older, at some point, you start actually losing height. Personal growth to me sounds like endless growth.
Precisely. I've even got in my notes to talk about that particular aspect later. Do you think personal growth implies a sense of inadequacy with your current state of being?
Well, of course. If everything was great, you'd want to stay. It's only when you don't like where you're at that you always want to keep moving.
What if you're at a really good place in life, except there's always better? That's not inadequate. You're not inadequate. You're adequate, but there is something more.
I'll turn that around on you and ask it in a different way, because we do a lot of business shows here. And the idea that a company is supposed to endlessly grow. Why? If you like where you're at and you're happy, your employees are happy, your customers are happy, why do I have to go out and open a new office and hire 10 more people?
I can't answer that question, because I'm kind of on the side of, I'm asking the question, why too? I remember that. Remember the book in the 80s? I can't even think of the author right now, and I should, because he was so popular, but remember In Search of Excellence?
Yeah. I don't remember the author either. I remember the book.
But it was about always... next degree of excellence. Mm-hmm. And I just came up with, and I was the only one that said it. I felt like I was a freak for saying, but that doesn't there come a point of diminishing returns that if you're always going for excellent, there gets a point where it's really difficult to become more excellent without reaching your capacity.
Yeah. All right. So I'll give you another version of that. Another book from a long time ago that was very popular for a while, The Peter Principle. Keep getting promoted past the point of your competency to the point of your incompetency. You're really good at doing this, so you get the next job, which you're not really good at doing. You should have stayed in the last job. That's your sweet spot. But because you were so good, they moved you up to vice president or general manager or something. And that requires a different set of skills for which you're not good at.
Yeah, absolutely. I really do agree with the Peter Principle and the idea of it. I think part of it is our culture, in that we always want to advance. And with the advancing comes, you know, two or three important assets. And, you know, one is more power, control, more influence, and then, you know, needless to say, more money.
Yeah, right.
And so all of those become desirable states. And I don't think I want to argue today about work. I mean, not that you and I argue. I don't want to talk about that dimension of work.
Just a couple examples. But personal growth usually is involved around not just becoming a better person. That's part of it. But usually it's advancing everything you said. I'm going to make more money. I'm going to get a bigger house. I'm going to acquire things. It's tied with that rising up in life.
It is. And do you know what I noticed in some places, in some spirituality, there is a hierarchy even in spirituality. You know, to me, that's a contradiction in terms. That you know, there are some expressions where people get extremely close to the divine in a certain way, but that is good for that person. That doesn't mean that's good for everybody. And that doesn't mean that that person was at any point inadequate, just means they're adding to it. I'm liking the idea of what I'm calling horizontal growth. So what if we looked at a metaphor and talked through the metaphor, and they're ladders and trellises.
Okay.
So you have the old ladder to success, which I am quite fond of saying, spent 40 years climbing the ladder of success, only determined my ladder was leaning up against the wrong building.
Which is not uncommon.
But even in Maslow's chart of, it's not necessarily spiritual, although it is a bit spiritual, but, you know, moving from the chart of shelter and food and then to safety and security, you know, we're moving up this hierarchy.
Right.
It's not quite a ladder, it's a pyramid. But at the very top is enlightenment, whatever that may mean. It's like this ladder, and that we climb up this ladder, and then we get to one rung on the ladder, and we hang at that rung, but we know you can't stop on one rung. You're either going to go back down or you're going to go back up. And
right.
So we're always talking about the ladder of success, of vertical growth, mm-hmm. moving up or moving down. And I think that is what I have a difficulty with. Is the moving up or the moving down? And that's why I like this concept. If you would picture a trellis, not the archway kind of trellises, but the trellis that may have four beams with a flat top on it, and it is a trellis top on it, if you would picture that type.
Right.
Is that clear?
Kind of like they grow grapes with or something, where they don't just grow up, but they grow out.
Yeah, like they grow up. But it's also, you know what it's really, really common with are... patio overhangs.
Oh yeah, right. I've got one of those. Yeah, exactly.
And they're kind of trellisy, so growies can grow in and out.
Growies.
You know, Pam and I built one at our last house. We have one at this house.
Yeah, it gets intertwined.
Exactly. Yeah, it gets intertwined, and that's why I like this idea of horizontal development. Horizontal, and what if I'm not looking at growth, Paul? What if I'm looking at expansion? It is not a growth that where I'm at is inadequate. Somehow where I'm at is less than. Instead, where I'm at is plenty good, but there's just room for expansion. There's room for knowing more. And I like this trellis sort of concept that it's just growing further out on the trellis. You know, the vine is very happy where it's at, but it just likes moving onward, not necessarily moving upward, but moving onward.
When you say that, I think of families. When you're young, you get married, have a kid, and then at some point you decide, we can have another? And some say, no, I'm happy with the nest. And some say, no, I feel a need or a desire. So you add to the family, and the family grows over time. It doesn't necessarily gets bigger in number, but it's not up. Friends or networks. Over time, you acquire more friends and more friends until some point you say, I can't handle any more friends. I can't handle any more social commitments. I can only pay attention to so many people. And then you reach this plateau where you stop. You don't start life with one friend and end with a million.
You know, that's a really good illustration, Paul. That's a great analogy of friendships and of developing a familial relationship. We're not going up a ladder, we are just expanding And then there is a moment in that expansion you're suggesting that we are just quite satisfied with this level of expansion, and we don't need to expand that level any longer.
Yeah, either you feel comfortable with your art, or you don't feel you can handle more. I can't handle any more kids. I can't handle any more friends. And then it's a question of deepening those ties and those bonds. Then it's a question of diving into what you've got, as opposed to trying to cultivate more.
Boy, I want to go silent because I want to think on that. And you just can't go silent on radio, I know. But that is really a very deep thought, and that's probing. Well, to use the word again, but that's probing the depth of my current state of being, no matter whether it be my relationships or my job or, you know, my character and the development of my character. So that is an idea of growth. This is where I get in trouble semantically. So growth necessarily is not a bad word, but if it is always trying to do something new and better, then it's a bastardized word.
Yeah, and it's, what point are you sacrificing to simply grow? I can keep adding kids to my family endlessly, but at some point the quality of our family life's going to go down. We don't have enough rooms in the house. I don't have enough time in the day. I don't have enough money in the bank. And so there's a diminishing return for that addition. Instead of strengthening what I've got, the relationships, helping the children I have grow, and not just growing the size of the family or anything. I'll give you another analogy. My father was, I always quote him a lot, started off in the assembly line, worked his way up to become a vice president for Chrysler Corporation back in the day when that was possible. And I asked him once, I said, did you ever want to be president of the company? He said, sure. And I said, why didn't you? And he said, well, you start looking at what you have to give up to get there, the extra hours you have to put in, the compromises you have to make, the butts you have to kiss, whatever it was. And he said, at some point you realize I'm happy here. This is as far as I'm going to go. And it isn't that he didn't have a desire, but when he realized what it took to get there, it wasn't worth it to him. It might be to others. And I said, how do you know what that point is? When you stop growing, I guess. And he said, you'll figure it out. You'll find it. It's almost like an equilibrium. The tree can only grow so far. If it grows any further, it's going to fall over. Its roots aren't strong enough to hold it up. So it only goes up so high, and then the rest of its life is, it's trying to be stable. It's trying to react to the environment. It's trying to hold on, maybe. It's no longer about growing. It grew as far as it wanted to or it could.
You know, I don't know if we talked about this because I so understand what you're saying. I don't know if we talked about this on the show before, but I realized when I was painting, and now I've quit painting, I taught myself how to paint, attended a couple small little classes on drawing, but I already had color composition and the movement on abstract paintings.
Right.
I had that concept. But then, you know what happened, Paul? Is I got to a point to where I realized I wasn't going to get any better. I didn't like my art without framing it, so it was costing me money to frame it.
Right.
I wasn't selling it. And so it just, and then my, sort of my, not my curiosity, but my desire to paint, sort of, I realized I was at a point, I'm either going to have to go to school, you know, and go to official school,
right,
or I'm going to have to try a new hobby. Now, that was not really a conscious choice. It was an unconscious choice, but my unconscious choice was to go to a new hobby. And I'm back right now. I'm back to writing and developing a couple of other areas in my life. But I think that may have to do with why I've had so many careers, is that I reached this point, in order to go to the next level, I would have to do this and this only.
Right.
Creative nature would not allow me to do it because I had to try something new.
I completely get it. Or maybe you felt the investment wasn't worth it. Maybe it isn't just that you didn't want to do it. Maybe you thought, well, how much better am I going to get? There's a limit to my talent. I've taken it as far as I want to go. I could get better. I could work at it, but I don't know that I'm going to see a dramatic gain. I felt that way about screenwriting. I studied script writing for a long time. And I came to a point kind of in my late 30s where I realized I'm either going to have to get much more serious about this and go get a master's in film writing at UCLA. And I maybe had an opportunity to do that. But what would I give up? I'm trying to have a relationship. I have a child by now and other things. And that's not really conducive to it. It's very introspective. It's a lot of hours spent with yourself thinking and writing and locked up in a room. And I thought, I don't know that I want to go there. And I looked at my talent and I said, I don't know that I have the talent to go there. If I sacrifice all this for it, will I gain enough to make up for it? Would I have to? It's sort of what my father said. At some point you realize to keep growing, you're going to have to make some sacrifices and you're going to have to do some things that you may not want to do. And then you're going to have to decide, is it worth it?
Boy, that's wonderful advice, because is the ROI worth it? Yeah. You know, first of all, do I really have the talent to move to the next step?
Right.
And even if I did, am I willing to sacrifice what I'm going to need to sacrifice, which is my family, my other opportunities? I'm looking at, there's two places in two times in my life I had an opportunity where I look back on it now and we could have done pretty well at that. But what it would have meant was that I'm focusing on one thought or one philosophy or one objective. I don't have freedom, and I'd have to turn into a company, and it wouldn't be me and just on my own. And that wasn't worth the price.
I'll give you another example. So, you know, I was spent many years in the entertainment industry, came out to, I wanted to get involved in it. I thought I'd be an actor, writer, producer, or something. Instead, I got involved in the business side of it, and I became an entertainment publicist. That's as far as I rose. And that was an accomplishment to get that far. And two things. I looked ahead at I went into partnership with an older guy who handled Johnny Mathis and Anthony Quinn, a bunch of famous names. And I'm sure he was looking at me as the heir apparent. I'm going to take over the company. I'm going to buy him out eventually. I'll handle these accounts and others. I looked ahead at him, and I'm sorry to say this, he was a really nice guy, but this is sort of typical of the day, sort of the madman era. He went out to lunch every day and had three martinis and toddled back and not real happy in his marriage. And you know, he'd sort of reached this plateau in life. He's like around in his 50s and he wasn't going to go much further. He liked what he did, but he was just sort of walking in a haze. And I thought to myself, is that going to be me in 10 years? And I thought, I jumped off the train. I said, I don't want to be there. It wasn't just him, a lot of entertainment publicists. How many times can you go to the Tonight Show? And how many times can you do this? We started doing the same thing over and over and over again. And I wasn't willing to go there. And so I left the business at time when I was just sort of getting ready to take off. I took a different path because I looked at what it took to get to the next level. And I wasn't sure I liked being at that next level. I'm sure I didn't want to be at that next level, and I didn't want to turn into that person.
So you gave up...
professional growth, right.
No, you gave up vertical growth for horizontal growth.
Yeah, I went in a different direction, and that everybody looked at me like I was nuts. And I've often wondered, was that a good move or a bad move? You've done this a couple of times. I did it in law school, too. I was in law school. Was it a really good law school, William & Mary? And I looked at what it took to get to the top, the hours, the insane amount of hours you're going to have to put into this, and then you're going to come out and you're going to do it. And I thought, and I wasn't that enamored with it. And I thought, I'm not willing to put that much time into it to get that good at it. And so I quit. And again, people looked at me like, what are you, crazy? I had worked so many years to get straight A's and to get into a prestigious school. And I got there and I said, I didn't like it when I saw it. Now I had to get there to see that. You can't see it from the outside. But once I got on the inside, I wasn't sure I wanted to, I was sure I didn't want to do that. And I was damn sure I didn't want to put in the amount of years and effort and energy for something I wasn't really that excited about. So I gave up again, that vertical growth, and went for something different. I don't know how to turn that into the tree analogy. The tree can't pick itself up. This is as far as I can grow on this hillside. I wish I could be on that other hill. because I got more space for growth, or it's a prettier view, or I can bear more fruit, or soil is richer over there. The tree's stuck where it's planted. We're not.
You know, I think with my, when I was working with Dina Crowder and we defined my archetypes, one of my archetypes is the explorer, sort of the curious explorer.
Yeah, right.
And that is all about learning in today's terms about growth, but it's about being at a different place. But I'm not growing up. I'm not growing in stature, in popularity, in power, any of those items that seem to be congruent with growth. None of those I'm getting. But what I am getting is a more expansive, broader, holistic view of humanity. You know, I like through travel, through reading, through meeting people that I would have never met before. In the last 2 or 3 months, I've met 3 or 4 really interesting people. You know, they're not going to contribute to my vertical growth, but my growth as a human being. Maybe that's what maturity is, Paul. What do you think? Is maturity more like a trellis than a ladder rather than going up the ladder of maturity? It's growing outward in the base of life and the base of our understanding.
I think there's a lot of wisdom in that, because I think maturity implies slowing down. Maturity implies savoring what you've got, making the most of what you've got. The quit fantasizing for the endless expansion, money, fame, fortune, accumulation of things, all that. At some point you start to say, I got enough. Now I'm going to go in a different direction. I'll tell you what came to me as I did. Maybe this is a different way to look at it. And I think you're like this. I'm definitely like this. I'm always looking for the new, but I'm not always looking for the better. I'm not always looking to become one step better tomorrow at what I'm doing today. Maybe that's wrong. That's what personal growth is. But it implies I'm going to focus on one thing and I'm going to master it. And because I know that that's sort of a fool's errand. You can never be perfect. You're always in search of the better. You're always going to make your life better, your marriage better, your job better, your career better, your house better. You know, and maybe that's part of it. It's the journey. So it's always the trying and the aspiring and the getting better. Rather than just focus on one, I'm always looking to add something new, a new experience, a new skill, a new language, a new friend, a new restaurant. I'm not just trying to take the one ladder and get up one more step. I'm trying to do as many things as I can, not just one thing. That hasn't always worked in life, but it's a different way of looking at life.
You know, you're making me think of the American model of success, and I wonder how much of us are just Americanized or Westernized. And my little bit of study in Eastern philosophy is that is not as typical in the East as it is in the West, the idea of this vertical kind of always going up this ladder. It's more of, you know, expanding in consciousness and expanding in experience.
Yeah.
Do you think we're just stuck with this American mindset?
I certainly was. Life was a linear progression. You went to school, you figured out what you're going to do. Maybe you flopped around a little bit, but you had to pick something somewhere along in your 20s. You had to pick something, and win, lose, or draw. Now you're going to spend the next 30 or 40 years of your life doing that. And you're going to try and get better at it. You're going to try and move up the corporate ladder. You're going to try and expand your business. You're going to try and... It wasn't about starting over. That was horrible if you had to start over in your 40s or 50s. And yet, life is not linear. People get divorced, and you got to start over in a relationship. Businesses die, and you got to start over again. Corporations get sold, and you get laid off. It isn't that kind of world anymore. It's much more, you're always freelancing. You're always trying to find something. Now, I'm not saying that sounds horrible. In a relationship, you can't be freelancing and trying to find. You can't be just looking around at everybody and seeing, jumping from relationship to relationship. There's a time to burrow down and to bear down and to build something. and then there's a time to enjoy it, and then there's a time to look around and say, well, what else you got?
Yes, yes. You know, a story I love to tell, I think I wrote about it in a post a couple of weeks ago, is that when I graduated seminary, and I'm fond of telling people I graduated this seminary that had the redundant name, Western Conservative Baptist.
not those liberal Baptists.
So it had a redundant name. It wasn't liberal Baptist. But my advisor that I didn't have a whole lot of contact with at school, I had a mentor that I had much more contact with, that was an unofficial mentor. But my advisor, you know, so I asked him, you know, so Dr. So-and-so, what is your observation of me in the future of ministry, you know, graduating seminary? And he says, Charlie, you have many, many, many excellent traits, but this I want to warn you about. You have a proclivity for the novel.
Ooh.
And little did he know, you know, that he was giving me a compliment.
Yeah.
And then,
right. But because that's it.
Of course, I have a proclivity for the novel.
I grew up in a world in the Midwest in the 50s and 60s where that was frowned upon. You were supposed to decide early on, this is who I'm going to marry, this is what I'm going to do, and then you work the rest of your life at those things. One relationship, one job. If you have to adapt, you do, but hopefully you won't. Hopefully you're married for 50 years, you work for 50 years, the same company, and then you retire. And then I don't know what you're supposed to do. You're just supposed to play golf and...
Oh, my goodness. You know, I did that once. I was in Palm Springs golfing by myself, and I was at a small private golf course. And I don't know how I got on, but I got on. And there were three members who lived on the golf course, and they were retired people.
Right.
And that's what they did every day, Paul.
So my dad, the house where my dad golfed, lived in Sun City, played golf every day.
They had
day.
Martinis with their wives after the golf game, and then they went and had drinks and wines with their friend at night.
Yeah.
And they came back and they played golf again. I did one day with them, and I didn't do the drinks. And I was done with it. You know, I said, I don't need to golf for another week. You know,
it
I'm
was,
fine.
It was, to me, like living hell. It was like Groundhog Day, because every day becomes the same. And yet it's all supposed to be about personal growth. And personal growth for me is the new and the novel. It isn't the better necessarily. Part of it's better. You always want to be better at things that you like and that are important. I get that.
See, that's even there. I'm going to challenge that. I think that's American.
Yeah, maybe.
I'm not sure that your Vietnamese rice farmer wants to be better.
He wants to get one more bowl of rice, or one more, I don't know, bag of rice out of the field next year.
Yeah, I don't know. Let's, you know, this is, I think we've pretty much covered the topic, but I want to conclude with an example that I want you to ask questions on, because
okay.
I'm going to get spiritual on this. And right now I'm covering,
right.
I'm studying St. Bonaventure. This is a 13th century theologian that is offering me insights into the Trinity and the Christian life that I never thought I would have. He's a Franciscan. He was born 4 years after St. Francis died, so he's one of the first writers on, you know, any kind of Franciscan theology. And
right. And
his writings have impacted so many Franciscans, including the most, you know, popular Richard Rohr and center of action and contemplation.
Including our current Pope. Isn't he a Franciscan?
He is a Franciscan. Right. Yes. But what I am finding, I am learning so much. I am indeed, my spirituality is in a growth mode, but I'm not trying to grow. It's this curiosity and the novelty of it, and that his capability of explaining almost, you know, inexplainable Christian concepts in ways that are so easy for me to understand, like the Trinity. And, you know, give me 5 minutes and I'll define Trinity to you. And, well, maybe eight.
Maybe 8 minutes. Yeah, right. That's a whole show in itself. I was born and raised a Catholic. You're playing in the field here. I've been slogging in that field for all my life, and I still don't get the Trinity.
Oh, well, I'm slogging in other fields, but you know, this is a horizontal life, a horizontal adventure with Bonadventure. And it's like the trellis on top of a patio, is that I'm just continuing to grow. There's open rungs and there's open trellises, and I'm curious what will happen as I grow into those. How much more rich, fulfilled, and mature will I be? Not how much more will I grow. I don't care about growing. It's just additional experiences and additional ways of thinking that just excite me to no end.
I'm with you. It's the new that gets me excited. People say, "What's your favorite restaurant?" I always say, "It's the one I haven't been to yet."
It's the new, but you know, there is, as long as we keep it, there is a mature, profound depth to the new. And then I like new, investigating that new, and then moving on to another new, and then incorporating them, not leaving anything behind, but integrating.
Because I was going to say, the only way I can go venture out into the new is if I know I've got a home to come back to. I in my home, it's all about comfort and routine. My slippers I've had for 20 years, the comfort food I eat over and over again, my routines each day that I build my day around here. All of that, I need that structure and that familiarity and that connection. Then I can build upon it. I always feel like I marvel at people. I think you had somebody on once, or maybe it was somebody else had somebody on, that decided at some point in their life they were going to sell the house and do everything. Kids are grown, and they have no house, no belongings, no nothing. Always on the road, always in a hotel, one to another. No home, a place she comes back to once in a while just to sort of check in and get her mail, but always on the road with no foundation.
We're not talking about my friend Taryn, are we, Taryn Voguette?
No, Taryn's kind of like that. I forgot whose show it was then. And I thought, wow, I don't know if I could do that sort of rootless existence. I like the roots. They took a long time to grow. I like the way they shaped, but I'm always looking for new things to add, a new thing to do, but not to replace it, to add to it.
You want to graft in new limbs.
Yeah, right. I don't want to just tear the tree down and start all over again every week, any more than I want to change families every week or change friends every week or even change jobs every week. But that doesn't mean I don't want to get...
You know, and I don't think the kind of growth we're talking about, I'm sorry to interrupt, but I don't think the kind of growth we're talking about and the kind of maturity we're talking about, that's the very beauty of the structure that I'm suggesting, is it is inclusive of who we've been.
Right.
It's inclusive of how we're built to be, and that we are, it's additive. We're expanding, we're adding on to it. We're making it bigger, broader, more exciting. We're not growing as much. I know growth and expansion, someone's going to say, because I'm going to say, what's the difference? But
yeah.
Somewhere in my vocabulary, somewhere in my lexicon, there is a distinction between growth and expansion.
And I think that's the limitation of the language. I was always marveled when I learned that I may have this wrong, but I've said it for years, so I'll believe it. In the Eskimo language, there's 20-some different words for the word snow. We just see snow, that frozen stuff on the ground. They're like, well, come on, there's this kind of snow and that kind of snow. There's a million, because they live in snow, so they see the richness of snow. We just see it as snow. I think growth is the same thing. We just see it as one catch-all thing. It can be physical growth. It can be human growth. It can be spiritual growth. It can be growth and experience. But for me, I can't grow without roots. I can't grow without some foundation. I can't just jump from one to the next.
So I completely get that. And much of me is the same way, although I do see, given a whole different life experiences, I could have been without that. I could have been a sojourner.
Yeah, right. And there are people that are there. The hobo on the road, riding the rails.
Yeah.
The the person endlessly walking the roads. Can't I got to have some basic? Maybe this is another strange story, but when I left law school and came back home, my parents said, "What are you going to do now?" Sat around for a while, couldn't figure it out. So I'm going to California. I'm going to find my fame and fortune. I was interested in the entertainment industry. I'm going to California now. And they were devastated. They thought I would just sort of go out and come home, because home to them is where you stay. And later they said, "How did you ever do that?" And I said, "It was only because I felt I had a home to come to. If I flopped, I knew I could come home. If I failed, I could come home." And so without knowing it, they gave me the security to try something. I didn't have to go worry about if it failed, I could come home. And so to me, that's what home is. Home is that safe place you can always come back to that's comforting and warm and familiar. But you don't want to stay home all day. That's what we're going through with COVID right now. You don't want to stay home all day. You want to go out.
'Tis true. So let me make an attempt at wrapping this up. You know, I don't intend to discourage growth, but a genuine assessment of myself, of what I want to become, and the values I give to my current self. I've really come to a point where I'm being able to accept myself as I am, and as a result, to value myself as I am.
Right.
I feel like new things, additional things, all sorts of ideas that I don't even know about that are going to impress on me, how I think about my life and how I live about my life, are all in the future and in my present, in the current present, but it doesn't negate my past. It doesn't negate the learning, even things that I didn't like necessarily, maybe especially the things that I didn't like about me. I have cause for great learning and great maturity in my life because I made those mistakes. So I would encourage people to think, if you're on that ladder of success, climb it, have fun, enjoy yourself. But there comes a time for lateral expansion that I don't need to go up any higher. I just need to increase breadth and depth and grow in maturity. I think that's it. Okay, Paul, thanks for spending time with me today.